been listening to Ion Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Ion Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.
Peter Greenberg here, back with you as Ion Travel continues from the Four Seasons Hotel in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Of course, if you want to reach me, you know the drill. You just email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. Let's go to the phones out in Fullerton, California. I've got Susan on the phone. Hey, Susan.
Hey, Peter.
How can I help you?
Well, I booked a multi-city ticket on American Airlines for my daughter and for me on January 21st and 24th in business class. And when I booked it on my credit card, but my daughter wanted to change her flight to her credit card. We called up and talked to American about that, and the gentleman we spoke to said, no problem, no, that'd be great, we just have to give you separate record locators, but everything will remain the same since you're traveling with your daughter and she's an American executive platinum or something like that for life. You'll get all of the benefits that she gets. Well, when I went to choose my seat in business class on British Airlines, they wanted to charge me almost $200 for choosing a seat next to my daughter. So I was given erroneous information, which, again, there was nothing I could do about. Nobody really cared or, I don't know. And the other thing that bothers me is having to pay for a seat when you're booking a business class ticket.
You want to know something, Susan? You're absolutely right. But let me tell you what happened here. Anytime, and this is for everybody listening, let's say I have status on the airline and you don't, and I book a ticket for both of us flying on the same itinerary, then we both have what they call the same PNR, meaning the passenger name record. We're on the same record locator. And what that means is you are then eligible for the same benefits that I am. So if I'm executive platinum for life, let's say, I would get to pick a seat, and I could pick your seat, and you wouldn't be charged for it. But the minute you split that PNR, the person who doesn't have status basically doesn't get it, number one. And then you find another problem. It's called code sharing. Even though it was officially an American Airlines flight, it was operated by a code share partner, British Airways. And you know what? They speak a different language, even though they claim to speak English. They speak a different language in terms of their rules and regulations about booking a seat. Now, having said all of that, they still should not have charged you to book a specific seat in business class. It makes no sense.
Doesn't make sense to me.
So here's what I want you to do. I want you to email me, peter@petergreenberg.com, and send me exactly the question you just asked, but also include the details of the date, the flight number, and that elusive PNR, the one that you got and the one that she got, and let us run that up the flagpole at American, since they're the ones who made the reservation, correct?
Yes.
And let's see if
and
we
they
can't
get... me.
Yeah, I know. But here's the other issue, though. You paid the money to British Airways, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
There's the problem. You should have called American Airlines back and booked the seat with them.
They wouldn't book it with me.
Well, then the other way to do it, okay, here's my little secret here. You're paying for a business class ticket. We're not talking back of the bus.
That's
so
right.
If they won't assign you a business class seat, but they'll confirm you a seat on, they'll confirm you your space on the plane, then you just get out to the airport and pick your seat, and they're not going to charge you. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true, but then I might not be sitting next to my daughter for a 10-hour flight.
Here's how you figure that out. Those seats are configured 2, 2, and 2.
Uh-huh.
So it's very easy to switch with people.
Well, that's true.
It is true. So that's how you do it. The whole idea here is when they have these ridiculous rules that are not equally enforced or even justified, you have to beat them at their own game, playing by their rules. So if you're going to book, this is the famous code share nightmare. And for everybody listening, if you're booking a flight and it has 4 digits as a flight number and not 3, then I don't care which airline you're booking it on, they're not going to be the airline flying that plane. Anytime it's a 4-digit flight, it's a code share flight. So if it's a 4-digit British Airways flight, means it's probably flown by American or Japan Airlines or Royal Jordanian or any one of their codeshare partners, as you booked a flight on American that was actually operated by British. So remember, you're not just crossing an ocean here, you're crossing a culture. So what you got to do is beat them at their own game. Never, ever pay for an upsell on a seat after you've bought a business class ticket. So send it to me anyway. I'm going to talk to the British Airways guys, and let's see if we can get you some money back here, because that's really, first of all, nobody fully disclosed it to you. That's number one. And number two, it doesn't make any sense. And number three, it's not good customer service. Other than that, they did a great job.
Other than that.
All right, Susan, so get that to me, Peter at petergreenberg.com, with all the details. I can't expect you to remember the name of the American Airlines reservations agent, but you do have the day that you called, and you do have what they told you. So let me have all that information, okay?
I will do that.
And thanks again for the call, and let's see what we can do.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you, and I enjoy your show.
Thank you, Susan. We really appreciate that. And that music means we're out of time for this hour. Stick around, everybody. We got a whole lot more coming from the Four Seasons Hotel here in Fort Lauderdale, and I won't make you pay for a seat. Back with more as Ion Travel continues right after this.
You've been listening to Ion Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Ion Travel is a CBS Audio Network production. Need more information on what you've heard? Have a travel question or comment? Just log on to petergreenberg.com. Now, here's Peter.
And we're back. Peter Greenberg here with you as Ion Travel continues from the Four Seasons Hotel in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Of course, if you want to reach me, I think you know the drill. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. Let's go out to the phones out in Columbus, Ohio. I've got Mark on the phone. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
I am just fine. I'm jealous because you're out there in Columbus, next to one of my favorite ice cream places in the short north. I know it.
Yep.
I know it.
Yep.
Okay, I'll eat ice cream any day of the week. But what's your question? Yeah. How can I help you?
Okay, my question is this. My wife and I are going to be taking a river cruise up the Danube in June of 2025.
Yep.
And we have the opportunity to take an extended days of excursion either in Budapest or in Prague. Can't afford to do both, but what location would you recommend?
And which cruise line are you taking?
Viking.
Well, Viking really distinguishes itself. They do really good, comprehensive and deep cultural immersion shore excursions. So that's good news. And they really talk about the history and the food and the music. It's wonderful. Now, you've given me a tough choice here between Budapest and Prague. The thing about Budapest, of course, on the Danube there, I have to give you some bad news. Are you ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
It's not blue. The Danube's not blue. Hasn't been blue since I think it's been the Danube, but forgetting that. To me, and I love Budapest, do not get me wrong, but Prague has, I think, a better opportunity for you, and I'll tell you why. Imagine a city that was not bombed in World War II, that it didn't have to be rebuilt. It's exactly the way it was, and it's magical. It's a great walking city. It's a great food city. The cathedrals there are unbelievable, And the funny thing is, you know, I just talked to you about ice cream in the short north. The funny thing about Prague is about every 18 feet, there's another candy store. So my wife will not let me go to Prague. But forgetting that, I think given that choice and you can only do one, I'd go for Prague.
Okay. That sounds great.
Yep. But remember, whatever shore excursion you take, make sure it's one that gives you at least 3 or 4 hours of time on your own.
Sure.
Right, so you're not walking around with the earphones on, just going through the Fifth Museum. That doesn't help anybody. You really need to take some time and just walk the streets. It is such a walking the street city that is so wonderful. You'll see what I mean when you get there.
Okay, Sounds awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You got it. And have an ice cream for me in the short north.
Okay, will do.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And let's go to the emails. Here's one from Cynthia who writes, I'm traveling to Japan April 9th. Do I need a special electrical adapter to plug in my phone, Kindle, or small hairdryer? Well, I can give you three answers for that. First of all, let's talk about the plugs themselves. The plugs in Japan are just like the plugs in the U.S., but they're two-prong, not three-prong. However, it's the hairdryer that's going to mess you up because you better bring an adapter because otherwise you could blow a circuit breaker. It happens all the time. And remember, they're not three-prong input plugs in Japan. They're two-prong. So you can go to a hardware store and get a reduction from a three to a two. Okay? But remember, the hairdryer is always the one that messes things up. A Kindle, a phone, you got it. Right? I hope that helps. All right, let's go to one. Here's Lois who says, is there such a thing as an annual travel insurance plan? And the answer, Lois, is yes, there is. Almost every major travel insurance company will offer it, but don't buy it online. What you see online is a per-trip policy, and you have no idea what you're covered for, and worse, you have no idea what you're not covered for. Go through a travel advisor or a travel agent and buy an annual policy. You can do it. Now, they run anywhere from like $500 to $900, but guess what? It's worth it. But what's the policy you're going to buy? Well, it's based on the cost of your trip. That's why they sell it on a per-trip basis for trip cancellation and interruption insurance. I'm talking about medical evacuation and repatriation insurance. That's the one you want the annual plan for, okay? I hope that's helpful. On trip cancellation and interruption, even though it's on a per-trip basis, go through a travel advisor or a travel agent to find out the policy language to see if it's even worth it. But what is worth it is medical evacuation and repatriation. And again, you need somebody to walk you through the language because even those policies have exclusions, right? Pre-existing medical conditions, age, and sometimes even destination. But you want to get that plan. And even have a family plan. It's absolutely worth it. Okay, here's one from Joan who wants to know, I'm going in mid-April. I want to know what's got the best beach weather, Curacao, Costa Rica, or Belize. I'll give you the answer. It's not Costa Rica. It could be Belize. It's definitely Curacao. Look at the map. Look how far south it is. I like Curacao first, followed by Belize, and then, of course, Costa Rica. But Belize, on a consistent level, has probably the best weather you're going to find of all three, right? And for those people who've been there, you'll know what I mean. By the way, coming up a little bit later this year is our one-hour special called Hidden Belize. You'll find it on PBS, Amazon, Apple TV, and YouTube. I hope you get a chance to watch it. It's a one-hour special. And we're not just on the beach. We're in the jungle as well, places that not many people go. So that's why they call it hidden, and you'll see that as well. We'll be back with more of Eye on Travel. Stick with us as Eye on Travel continues from the Four Seasons Hotel right here in Fort Lauderdale. We'll be back right after this.
Please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened. Eye on Travel will be right back. Need more information on what you've heard? Have a travel question or comment? Just log on to petergreenberg.com. Now, here's Peter.
Peter Greenberg back with you as Eye on Travel continues from the Four Seasons Hotel right here in Fort Lauderdale. And of course, I know you know the drill, but I'm going to tell you anyway. If you want to reach me, just email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. In fact, let's go right to the phones. I've got Aldina on the phone from Philadelphia. Hello, Aldina. How can I help you?
Well, my family is having a family reunion in Miami the last weekend of July. And there's like between 12 and maybe as many as 20 of us that are trying to get airfare to go to Miami. Of course, we want to fly nonstop. And we do have some persons that will be in a wheelchair and have mobility issues. Some will be leaving on Wednesday, others Thursday. Some will return Sunday. Some will return the following Wednesday. And we just are trying to figure out the best way to navigate this.
All right. So let me help you out. We'll get to the mobility issues in a second. But if you were all traveling on the same flight, you could probably qualify for a discount, not by booking with American Airlines directly, but by going with to their sales department. And I'm sure they have a sales office somewhere near you. And I'm talking not a physical sales office, but you could do it on the phone.
Sure.
Because they do group discounts. Anytime you're more than 10 people on the same itinerary, you do qualify for a discount. At least that's what they used to do. Let's hope they're still doing it. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, the good news is anybody going to Miami in July is going to get a discounted fare anyway, because you couldn't be more off season than Miami in July. You'll own it.
Because right now we're looking at airfares that are running like $577.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Let me tell you something.
Yep, exactly.
I know, because you're booking it too soon. Remember, the best to do is to do it about 54 days out. You're not 54 days out. You're more like 70 days out, maybe 80 days out. So wait till you get a little bit closer in, and you'll see those fares drop, I guarantee you. And I'll give you another example. Let's say those fares don't drop. Take a look at Fort Lauderdale instead of Miami.
Okay.
And that's the first thing. Now, in terms of mobility issues, that's an easier one, because once you identify the flight that you're on, you need help in getting these folks boarded on the plane, and then when they get off the plane, to get them out of the terminal, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you can make that wheelchair request when you make your reservation for each individual person.
Okay, great. That will be done. And I guess, what would you consider to be a good price for that off-season?
Well, Philadelphia to Miami is not the world's longest flight, number one. And number two, you're saying American flies it nonstop, because it's the old U.S. air route, to tell you the truth. But what you can do is, if you can get a fare of about $330, then you're styling. But you're not going to get a fare of $330 right now, because they haven't adjusted their computers, because they want to see how the loads hold up. And unless something's happening in Miami in July that I don't know about, those loads are not going to hold up. You're going to get a lower fare. Okay?
Sounds good.
All right, Aldina.
Sounds
thanks for the call. Good. Let me know what happens, okay?
Indeed, I will. And thanks for the info. Have
you
a great day.
You too.
Okay. Bye.
And now let's go to some emails. Here's one from Tom, who writes, is tourist travel to Israel now prohibited? No, Tom, it's not. In fact, the numbers of visitors to Israel right now is higher than it was last year. It's all a question of where you go and where you don't go. Of course, a lot of the visitor numbers to Israel are reflecting visiting friends and family, going back to support friends and family during a very tough time there. But travel is not restricted within Israel. It's not restricted in Tel Aviv, of course, or Jerusalem. It's just about situational awareness, which it should always be, and packing some basic common sense. Remember, if you go to the U.S. State Department of Travel Advisories, they will tell you that you should travel with increased caution to Israel, whatever the you know what that means. But you should travel with increased caution to Cincinnati as well. The point is, it's about situational awareness, about being aware of your surroundings, and of course, ask the locals. They will tell you where not to go. Now, one thing you can do in advance, in addition to reading State Department advisories, is read the British Foreign Service, their advisories to their citizens. I happen to think in most cases they do a better job. And then one more thing which you can easily do in terms of preparing for travel to Israel, go online. There are two or three different English language newspapers that are available online that are published in Israel. Read the last 3 weeks, and that will tell you, based on those issues, where you need to go, where you don't need to go, and you can make an informed, intelligent decision and not be in trouble. Here's one from Patricia, who writes, I'm researching the Mayfair area of London for the first time, and I'm surprised by the hotels offering only non-refundable rooms. Is there a way around this? Yeah, there is. What are you looking for? Meaning, where are you looking for it? Are you looking for it online? What you should do now, this screams out for you to have a conversation with a travel advisor or a travel agent and let them know, please find me rooms in London, and in your case, in particular, in the Mayfair area, that are not non-refundable. Okay, this is the big problem we had during the pandemic. So many airlines ended up having to refund money, and so many hotels stood behind ridiculous clauses saying that the rooms were non-refundable. Not acceptable. Then again, That's where you want to have a conversation. You do not do this online. You get on the phone, talk to a travel agent, say, look, this is my budget. This is the area of London I want to go. And can you please confirm for me reservations that are not non-refundable at the following hotels that you're going to suggest? And then guess what happens? You get that. Now, will you pay a little bit more for it? Yes, like you would for a non-refundable ticket versus a refundable ticket on an airline. But the bottom line is, that's how you protect yourself. Do not, repeat, do not do this online. This screams out for a conversation, which, by the way, you and I just had. We'll be back with more from Fort Lauderdale as Ion Travel continues from the Four Seasons right after this.
Please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened. Ion Travel will be right back. You've been listening to Ion Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Ion Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.
Peter Greenberg here back with you as Ion Travel continues from the Four Seasons Hotel here in Fort Lauderdale. And of course, you know the drill. You can always reach me. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. In fact, we'll solve it on the show right now. Let's go to the phones out in Wall Township, New Jersey. I've got Barbara on the phone. Hello, Barbara.
Hello, Peter. How are you today?
I'm good. How can I help you?
Well, I'm curious. You're always talking about booking flights X amount of days before you go and travel. Here's the thing. I just booked a flight for September 28th to Amsterdam. Now, I have 24 hours to decide as to whether or not I'm going to move through with it, but I got a very good price.
What was the price?
Well, it's for business going out and premium economy coming back. It's $3,045.
Okay, so that's a very good price for the summer. I'm not so sure it's a very good price for September.
See, my concern is that if I wait, I'm not going to get the availability of the seats that I want.
Okay, can I tell you something that's interesting? Who'd you book the flight with? What airline?
United.
Okay, so you understand that if you cancel the flights, you'll get a credit, right? Okay, so here's what you do. Time to hedge your bets. Don't give up that fare, and now wait till about 54 days out from September and your booking time, and check out the fares again. And if all of a sudden, if the fare drops to like $1,900, book that fare and cancel the other one and get yourself a $3,000 credit.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
All right. Yeah, I do. I hear what you're saying. Yes, definitely.
Because remember, gotcha. the airlines use algorithms that are somewhat sophisticated, or at least more than they used to be, and it allows them to do a lot of projections as to year over year, month over month, even sometimes day over day, year in advance, to see what they think is going to be the demand, and that's what lets them set prices. But sometimes if you're that far ahead, if you're more than 54 days out, they haven't been able to project accurately yet, so they don't adjust the fares. And all of a sudden, if 54 days out, no one's going to Amsterdam in September, the fares drop. Or let's say everybody's going to Amsterdam in September and the fares go up, then you made a good deal. Either way, you're hedging your bets and you're protecting yourself because you can always get the flight credits.
Okay. Well, that's very good to know. I appreciate that. And I will. So 54 days out is what you're saying is really when I might look again for a better fare. Is that correct?
The only caveat for that 54-day deal is if it's Thanksgiving and it's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving or it's the Friday before Easter or it's right before Christmas. No. But other than that, yes.
Okay, because, September 28th is, to my knowledge, nothing going on.
But you don't know what's going on in Amsterdam that I don't know yet, so stay tuned.
I see. Okay, I gotcha. Okay.
You got it.
Very good.
Let me know what happens, okay. Barbara.
Yes, and thank you so much. I appreciate your interest.
You got it, Barbara. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
And now to an email here. Here's one from Barb who says, I was listening to your show and I heard you say that you should use your ATM to get currency when we get to Ireland or Scotland or Wales. I spoke with a couple of banks where I live and they can do it also. Do you find the local bank's rate is better or worse? All right, she has a couple of questions, but let me answer this one first. You should never exchange U.S. dollars for foreign currency in the United States. You're going to get a terrible exchange rate. Doesn't matter. That's why you have an ATM card. But when to use the ATM card and where is what makes the difference. So when you get over there, first of all, figure out if your ATM card is associated with a bank or a financial institution that doesn't charge you ATM fees to use it in a non-aligned ATM, right? Not in their network. Many banks do that too. Then, if you're going to use your ATM when you get overseas, go to a local bank. Don't do it at an ATM machine, or don't do it at the money changers at the airport. Do it at a local bank. You'll get the day of exchange rate that they get to their regular customers. And that's how you do it. And you say, do I need pounds for England, Scotland, and Wales, and euros in Iceland? Is that in Ireland? Is that correct? That's technically correct, but once again, here's what you do. Take about $200 in $2 bills. You'll use that for tipping. People love them. And then in the meantime, use your ATM card to get only what you need. And then you're not going to get hit with bad exchange rates when you exchange it back. Okay? Again, make sure you have a bank that doesn't charge you a fee for using another machine. A lot of institutions do that. Even Charles Schwab gives you a no-fee ATM. That's just one advice, but there are many other banks that do it. And then under no circumstances do you exchange your foreign currency in the United States. Last but not least, if you're using a credit card, which you will do to make purchases overseas, you'll invariably be asked by the merchant, do you want to pay it in dollars or local currency? And most Americans think, oh, I'll do it in dollars because it's something I understand. Big mistake. Always pay in local currency. And I'll tell you why. Because a lot of merchants who are not necessarily ethical will play a game using something called a dynamic conversion rate, which means they get to set their own rate of conversion anywhere from 3 to 10%, and you're paying that over and above what you purchased. If you just pay it in local currency, they can only charge you in the local currency conversion rate that the bank itself does. You understand the difference? Okay, so again, no foreign currency exchange in the U.S. Make sure you have an ATM that doesn't charge you fees to use other machines. And then, when paying, pay always in local currency. That music means we're out of time for this show. Lots of people to thank. Amanda Morris, our producer. Jeff Ryder doing the boards in Connecticut. And Juliana Escudero right here at the Four Seasons in Fort Lauderdale. Thank you to the entire staff as well. And we'll see you next week, everybody, from another location somewhere around the world. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.